John 16, verse 33. And it says this. It says, Jesus said, he said this to his disciples. He says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have troubles. Be courageous. I have conquered the world. And so this is a promise from God saying that in this world we are going to have troubles. Troubles are inevitable. If you're in a marriage, a fight is inevitable. If you are a parent, problems are inevitable. If you are an employee, you have to face problems on the job. Problems are inevitable. In life, you're going to face difficult situations. That's a promise. And growing up, you know, I had a lot of problems in my life. You know, I was like, I remember before I came to Christ, before I confessed Christ as my Lord and Savior, before I told him to come into my life and change me, I remember thinking like, man, I didn't ask to be born. I didn't ask to be a son of a heroin addict. I didn't ask to be thrust into a dysfunctional family and relationships. I didn't ask for all of these problems that life threw on me. I didn't ask to be born, God. Why did you create me? Why? I didn't ask for this. But in this life, we will have problems because of a thing called a sinful nature. We're prone to sin. We're prone to do the thing that God hates. We're prone to, you know, in the society that we live in, it condones what God condemns. And so in this life, we're going to face a crisis one way or another. It's a promise. And this is the definition of a crisis. A stage in a sequence of events at which the trend of all future events, especially for better or for worse, is determined. In other words, it's a turning point. Another definition says, a crisis is a condition of instability or danger in social, economic, political, or international affairs leading to a decisive change. And so although problems are inevitable, problems are going to come our way, we need to change our perspective on our problems. See, when you read the Bible, all great men of the Bible faced a crisis. Paul had letters going to Damascus, and he had letters giving him the authority to lock up any Christians wherever he found them. But then he had a turning point. Jesus Christ appeared to him, and ever since then, he used that same zeal to spread the gospel. Joseph's crisis led to 13 to 14 years of hardship. He became a slave, thrown in a dungeon, falsely accused. Moses had a crisis that caused him to flee for his life because he killed an Egyptian, and the punishment for killing an Egyptian was death. Job's crisis devastated his entire life. David had a crisis where he was forced to flee from his employer, King Saul, because he put a bounty on his head. See, whenever you decide in your heart, whenever you determine, whenever you settle it in your spirit that you are going to serve God and you want to do something significant for God, one thing you could be assured of is that you're going to face opposition. See, because we serve a real God, but then there's also a real devil, and his name is Satan, and the name Satan means adversary. And what that lets us know is that he is committed to opposing God and the things of God. And when you decide in your heart that you're going to do something for God, or you're going to give your life to God, or you're going to surrender every area of your life to God, when you decide that in your spirit, you're going to face opposition. See, because Satan, he really doesn't bother with half-hearted Christians who are content with a watered-down spiritual life, but he wants to affect those. He wants to go after those who decide in their spirits that, you know, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me, you could do what you want. See, I love you, but I love him more. And if you get in the way of that, then I'm going to have to cut you off. See, people who decide in their spirit that I'm going to serve God, Satan has put a target on your back. And one of the most searching questions anybody could ever ask is, why? would God allow crisis into my life? Why? That question is one of the most asked questions. Why? Why? Why, God? Now, there's a number of reasons why God will allow bad things to happen in our lives. There's a lot of reasons why God will allow us to go through uncomfortable situations, allow us to go through situations where you know, we might lose a lot of things. We might lose our job, our career, our family, friends, whatever it is. God will allow us to go through them things simply to get our attention. See, there's a number of reasons why God will allow us to go through things, but one of them, in my own experience, is that he wants to get our attention. Job 36:15 says this: God delivers the afflicted by their affliction. He opens their ear through adversity. The New Living Translation says, by means of their suffering, he rescues those who suffer, for he gets their attention through adversity. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. Pain is God's megaphone to rouse a sleeping world. So you could ask a lot of Christians, you know, what one of their main struggles is, and what a lot of Christians will tell you is that one of their hardest things to do is to consistently set time aside so that they could seek God in prayer and reading the Word. That's one of the big struggles that a lot of Christians face, is simply setting time aside because the busyness of life, the busyness of our jobs, our relationships, even ministry, begin to drown out our prayer life. And as a result, you know, we begin to give up reading the Word. And as a result of that, we begin to slowly drift away from our communion with God. And that's one thing that God desires, is that we spend time with him so that he could commune with us. Because one thing that God desires, he desires to reveal himself to us so that in turn we can reveal him to the world. And so if God has to, I don't believe that God loves to do it, but if he has to, he will allow all hell to break loose. He will allow everything that could go wrong to go wrong if that's what it takes to get our attention. Because God is a jealous God. God desires a relationship with us. And so if he has to, he will allow everything to go wrong simply to get our attention. But one thing that we need to understand is that God doesn't just bring us through things just to get our attention, but we need to understand that everything that God allows us to go through is for our benefit. As painful as it might seem, as confusing as it might seem at the moment, ultimately it's for our benefit. James chapter 1 verses 2 through 4 says, consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. See, whatever the devil throws our way, whatever trials, whatever circumstances, whatever muck and mire we find ourselves in, see, the devil wants to use that to defeat us. But God in his faithfulness, he takes that same thing and he uses it to develop us. So we need to change our perspectives on what we go through, the trials and the situations that we face. Amen? Psalms 119:71 says this. It says, it was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. See, one of the purposes of affliction is to teach us things we would not have learned otherwise. And another reason why God allows us to go through things is because he wants to develop this thing within us called obedience. God wants to develop obedience within us. And, you know, what I found is a lot of times, you know, a lot of people have a desire to please God, but then they don't read the Word of God, and therefore they really don't know what God is like, and they don't know what pleases him, so they're just shooting aimlessly trying to please God. See, but God desires obedience. And in order to understand who God is, we need to read the Word of God. See, because this right here is God's self-revelation of Himself to humankind. This is God's self-revelation to us. This is 66 books that God left us that show us who He is, what is like, what pleases Him, what displeases Him. How do we live our lives? How do we treat one another? God desires obedience. In 1 Samuel 15:22, it says this. Then Samuel said, Does the Lord take pleasure in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? Look, to obey is better than sacrifice. To pay attention is better than the fat of rams. See, God desires obedience rather than sacrifice. And in Psalms 119:67, this is one of my favorite psalms because I can relate to this. It says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. And that word astray simply means our own way. So before I was afflicted, I did things my own way. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. And that's one thing I could relate to, see, because there's a lot of things that I went through that had I not went through them, I wouldn't see when you read the Bible, but then when you choose to willingly live opposed to the Bible, one thing you could be assured of that in time, you're gonna look back and see how true the word is. See, because the word says if you do this, this is gonna happen. But then if you do this anyway, and then later you're gonna look, hindsight's 20/20, so you look back and you're like, man, the word, you know what I'm saying? I mean, the word of God's gonna prove itself true. And there was a lot of things that I went through that I didn't have to go through, but I went through them. I chose to willingly, you know, rebel and turn, you know, do things my own way. I went astray. I did things my own way, and as a result of that, now, having faced the consequences, now I know to obey the word of God. God desires obedience. And understand that before we go astray, God gives us warnings. See, because God doesn't want us to sin. I don't think it's not God's desire that we sin. You know, so before we fall into sin, you know, God always gives us warnings. You know, He speaks through people, He speaks through our conscience, He speaks through circumstances. And a lot of times it's just having the ear to hear. See, there's a lot of times where I could look back where some people have told me some things, you know, don't do this. Don't do that. Don't go over there. Don't go over, you know what I'm saying? Whatever. There's when I look back, I could see, man, there was times God was trying to warn me, whether it was through people or circumstances, but I just didn't hear it. Like I didn't hear it, you know, or I heard it, but I kind of like other voices drowned it out. And then in Job 33:14, it says this, for God speaks time and time again, but a person may not notice it. See, God speaks, but it's all about having the ear to hear. And that's why prayer is important. That's why reading the Word of God is important. That's why setting time aside is important, so that we're in tune with the Holy Spirit, so that we're in tune with what God wants us to do in our lives. Just like any other relationship. You know, when you get into a relationship, you know, you're willing to spend all the time in the world. Amen. I mean, you're on the phone like, you know, hey, you know, no, I'm not going to hang up. You hang up first. I'm not going to hang up on you, girl. You know what I'm talking about? We give them our time. And the same thing, man, we need to give God time. We need to give God time in our lives so that we could hear what He's saying, so that we could know what the next step is. See, because the Bible says, don't lean on your own understanding. And a lot of times, man, we have the tendency to do that. We have the tendency to lean on our own understanding. And so I'm going to be very short this evening. So I'm about to be coming to a close here pretty soon. But understand, so we need to learn to change our perspectives on what we go through. Learn to view it differently. Understand that what we go through is ultimately for our benefit. And that God allows us to go through things. Why? Because he wants to get our attention. See, because if something's pulling us away from him, he'll allow things to go crazy so that we could readjust our focus. You know, like a good example is for me. The first time I ever read the Bible was when I was locked up. If I had never got locked up, I never would have read the Bible. You know, I was, I spent 6 months in jail. And, you know, when you're in a cell, you got to pass time. And so, man, I began to read the Word of God. I began to read the Bible. And at the time, I really wasn't searching for God. It was just good stories. You know what I'm saying? You have God created the whole world, and then he created man. He created the animals, and then man sinned, and they fell away from him. God kicked them out of the garden. And then, sin populated the whole earth. So God judges the whole earth. He tells Noah to build an ark, and he saves Noah and his family. Then it talks about the Tower of Babel and how God created all the languages. And after that, talks about the call of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then how Jacob's 12 sons become the 12 tribes of Israel. Then they go into Egypt, become slaves. God sends Moses, delivers them out of Egypt. They wander through the wilderness. They go into the promised land. And it talks about the judges and the kings and then all the prophets and then how they prophesied about the coming Messiah. See, it was all just good stories at the time. It was all really good stories. But I remember when I got out of jail, slowly began to go back to doing the same things that I was doing, smoking weed, drinking, and, living from weekend to weekend and just getting in trouble. And I got to a point where, man, I was just tired. I was like, man, there has to be more to life than just this. There has to be more to life than just existing, than just living day to day, not having no vision for my life, not having no purpose for the reason why I'm living, not having no destiny, not feeling like I have no value, you know what I'm saying? But then I remember I began to watch Christian television one night, and then, it was then where this preacher just began to speak, and he began to speak about certain things that I read about in jail, and that's the whole reason I kept listening, because what I read about in jail, he was pretty much breaking it down, spiritualizing it, and making it relevant to my life. And so I would wait for everybody to go to sleep every night, and I would turn it on, and I would watch it. And then slowly I began to learn what the gospel was, and then what he began to say made sense. And because I read the Old Testament, I knew what it meant when they called Jesus Christ the Lamb of God, because it all started in the Old Testament. You know what I'm saying? And it made sense to me. And then I began to learn that, you know what I'm saying, that I'm a sinner, that the problem, the reason why my life is all messed up is because of sin. And since I'm a sinner, I'm in need of a Savior. And then he began to talk about the cross and what the cross means. On the cross, what took place on the cross is called the great exchange. It's where God took our sin, and then he gave us Christ's righteousness. And so if you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, see, because sin is not going to get to heaven. All sin. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And what that means is that all sin, no sin's going to make it into heaven. Because of sin, we deserve hell. I deserve hell. I deserve to spend eternity separate from God. But because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's all about, I begin to learn the gospel, and that's what began to change my life. I began to learn that, man, that, growing up, people told me that they didn't love me, but there was somebody way more important that loved me. There was somebody way more important that valued me, that the hairs on my head were numbered. He's seen the things that I went through. He said that he was near the brokenhearted. And at that point, I was contemplating suicide. And God began to change my life. But had I not got locked up, I never would have read the Word of God. And so God will allow things like that to happen to get your attention so you can readjust your focus. And he'll get you in a place where you're more receptive, or you're more receptive to what he's trying to say or what he's trying to do in your life. See, one thing we need to understand is, no matter what we go through, we need to learn to see God in the midst of what we're going through. In the midst of what we're going through, we need to learn to see God in the midst of it. If you turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 15, I'm going to be coming to a close here, real couple minutes. Genesis 50, so just keep your finger there for a second. And so what we need to learn to see God in the midst of what we go through. And so towards the end of Genesis, it talks about a young man named Joseph. And Joseph's life is one of the most inspiring stories in the Old Testament. He's very well known, you know. And so Joseph's story is this. So Joseph was a young man. He was pretty much like a miracle child. And so his father had him in his old age. And so as he grew up, his brothers became jealous of him because his father loved him more. His father loved him more than his brothers. And so his brothers became jealous of Joseph. And as a result of that, one day his brothers decided that they were going to kill him. But then one of them was like, no, let's not kill him, for he's our own blood. Rather, let's sell him into slavery. And so all because of their jealousy, they sold him into slavery, and then they took his clothes and brought it back to their father and dipped it in blood and said, you know, a wild beast tore him to pieces. And so the whole time his father thought that he was dead. And so Joseph went through 13 years of just misfortune. And so he got sold into slavery. And then from there, an Egyptian bought him by the name of Potiphar. And he was faithful to Potiphar. He was faithful to his master, to the point where Potiphar put him over his entire house. And the Bible says that Potiphar didn't have to concern himself about everything because Joseph was a faithful steward. And he was faithful, but then one day Potiphar's wife tried to have sex with him. But because he valued his relationship with God, he didn't want to sin against God. He told her no, then he tried to flee from her. And then she falsely accused him and said that, you know, that he tried to have sex with her. And as a result, Potiphar threw him in prison. And so even in the prison, he proved faithful. So much so that the warden put him over the entire prison to where the warden didn't have to concern himself about anything. But it was in the prison where fellow inmates forgot about him when they got out. And so he went through all of this all because his brothers were jealous of him. And then after that, you know, he comes out of the pit, then he becomes ruler of all of Egypt because God gives him the power to interpret Pharaoh's dream. And as a result, Pharaoh puts him in charge of the entire kingdom. And so now here Joseph is in charge of the entire kingdom, and then a famine strikes the land, and then Joseph's brothers, who were responsible for getting him thrown into slavery, who were responsible for all the hardship that he faced for around 13 to 14 years, his father thought he was dead, he was forgotten about. And now we're going to read right here, his same brothers who did that to him, he's now standing before them, ruler of all Egypt, not their young brother who was helpless, but now he's in authority. He has the authority to take their lives for what they did to him. In Genesis 50:20, we read that he's seen God in the midst of all of his misfortune. Genesis 50:20 says this. He's talking to his brothers. He said, "You planned evil against me, but God planned it for good to bring about the present result, the saving of many lives." And here you have a young man, or you have a man who he could have carried out vengeance. He could have got him back for what he did for him. How many know a lot of us in here, if we had the opportunity, we would have slayed him right there on the spot. But Joseph didn't do that. Joseph seen God in the midst of all of his misfortune. He seen God in the midst of everything he went through. He was able to recognize God in the midst of his troubles, recognize God in the midst of his misfortune. And that's important that we, when we're going through things, just step back, you know, go to prayer and ask God, man, God, is there, you know, like, show me, what are you doing? What's taking place right now? What is there something you want me to do? Is there sin in my life that I need to get out of my life? Or is there something that I need to start doing? Or am I in the wrong place? Or what is it, God? Speak to me. When things begin to go crazy, before you even talk to your wife, before you talk to your family members, man, go talk to God and see what God is doing in the midst of it. God's objective in allowing difficulties into our lives is that we become conformed to the image of His Son. That's one of God's main objectives, is simply to make us more like His Son. See, because when we go through hard times, you know, we're at a crossroads. Are we going to read? Are we going to apply what we read in the Word of God? Are we just going to respond how we always did? See, I believe it's Matthew chapter 7, verses 25 or 24. It says that Jesus says that he gives a parable. He says, those who hear the words of mine and put them into action, those who hear the words of mine and put them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And when the rains fell and the floods rose and the winds beat against that house, it did not fall because its foundation was on the rock. But then a foolish, those who hear these words of mine and don't put them into action is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And when the rains fell, the winds blew and the rivers rose, that house fell and great was its crash. The whole point is, when trouble erupts, when we go through storms, it's important to apply the Word of God. See, because what that parable lets us know is that in Christ, there's stability to weather the storm. If you guys could all just stand with me. Romans 8:28 says this. It says, we know that in all things God works everything for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. And there's a purpose behind a lot of the things that we, now I'm not saying that everything that we go through is a result of God. Sometimes a lot of our problems are self-inflicted. But sometimes God brings us or allows things to come into our lives to get our attention, to open our ears. He allows things to come into our lives because He wants to conform us to the image of Christ. He wants obedience. He wants to develop obedience within us, because when we go through things, that's where we're at a crossroads. Are we going to obey the Word of God? And it's important to see God in the midst of what we go through. See, God uses affliction to teach us His word and to build our faith so that we end up closer to Him than we were before our troubles began.